Patience by James Swallow. Read by Jonathan Keeble. It is not a lie to say that I expect to find my former commander dead amidst the wasteland we have made of Nolek Trinus. The bombardment of the northern continent by 20,000 Imperial artillery batteries has turned every inch of it into murdered grey earth and heaps of rubble, tilled by a week-long rain of ordnance. How must the Noleki have felt to see their sky blacken as a wall of shells descended? I wonder, in those brief seconds before the first of them landed, did the Noleki realize the depth of their betrayal? Did they understand that this was the consequence of their choice? They all died, of course, as was fitting. The last of them, those few that managed to survive, emerged from deep earth bunkers set many kilometers beneath the surface and attacked us with all their might. We gave them the end they craved. We silenced their cries of hate with our guns. This is not the first world I have stood upon where a populace has sided with the arch-traitor Horus. I regret that it will not be the last. We are walking now, up the hill of rubble that is all that remains of Nolek's first city. It weathered the attack best, having been protected by a massive void shield, but even that eventually failed under the iron rain. It is just as dead as everywhere else. But here you can actually make out the stubs of shattered buildings, where elsewhere the heaps of cracked stone hint at nothing. I lead. Following me is the lieutenant and his platoon. They are as drab in their armour as I am in mine. It's the dust, you see. It coats everything. I glance at him, the ruby eye slits of my beaked helm scanning the hard planes of his face. The dust makes him a ghost. It flattens his features, rendering him nondescript. The dried blood from his wounds is caked with it too, as are the blood-smeared faces and breastplates of all his troopers. The Noleki tried very hard to take us with them to their graves. Only the winged skull across the brow of the lieutenant's headgear seems to stand out. Before landing here with me, he looked like a man. And before that, before he accepted the same bargain that I did, he looked like any other soldier of the Imperial Army. But now he and I are different. Our colours have been bled from us. We are grey. The Regent of Terror plucked us from the continua of our lives. He made these men into his elect, dubbing them as his chosen. And I? There is no name for what I am. Fallen son, dusk raider, loyalist, death guard. I am all and none of those things. I am only Helig Gallo. The lieutenant and his soldiers call me a knight errant. It suffices. Look there, says one of the troopers. She's pointing through the wreaths of smoke that wash over the land. A ruin. I'm almost amused by her words. This whole world is a ruin. But then my genhanced vision picks out what she has seen, clearer and sharper, and I understand. Against all possibility, something is still standing. Wary, I raise my bolter and approach. It is not an illusion. Pieces of some great basilica actually remain. In fact, as I come closer, I see stained glass in the tall, arched window frames. The depictions there, impossibly still intact, are full of idolatry and pious imagery of the Emperor of Mankind at his great works. They are intricate things, made with a zealot's love. The word-bearers built it. A lifetime ago, when the 17th devotion to the Master of Mankind was at its terrible height, before Kerr, before Monarchia, and the chastisement of their Primarch. I wonder how it was allowed to stand after that, or indeed how these remnants still stand now. It must have been at the very epicentre of the Void Shield, the most protected part of the most protected city on Nolek Trinus. But no matter. It is a ruin now. The troopers fall into a phalanx behind me. They are well trained, and we have done this before. Lasgans come to the ready, and I direct them with silent battle sign gestures. We believe we are prepared for any advent of horrors. And that is when I see him. Alive, then. He stands there, as grey as the rest of us, as bleak and stony as the ashes about him. I have seen statues with more animation to them. A ripped cloak crackles briefly as the wind catches it, burned and torn as mute evidence of a battle hard fought. That unvoiced story shows in scars over his armour, and the dulled gold of the eagle cuirass that differentiates his war gear from mine. He rests upon a great sword that is streaked with the blood of monsters. I know he hears us coming. I imagine he heard our approach long before we saw him. His head is bare, and he is listening. For what, I'm not certain, until the smoke rises like a curtain, and the rest of the scene is revealed. The chosen of Malkador are hard souls, brave men and women gathered from some of the most brutal war zones in the galaxy. And yet, as one, they balk at the sight of the thing. I have no words for what the creature is. I will call it a dragon, because that is the name of a terror that I recall from legends of old. But it's not that. No logic of evolution or tale of fancy could ever have spawned something so grotesque, so utterly twisted and sickening. It is an assembly of talons and wings, eyes and teeth, scales and fur, collected from a million nightmares. It should never exist, but mercifully it appears to be quite dead. The dragon thing lies in a lake of its own ichor, and I gather from the myriad cuts upon the beast's flesh that it was the sword that ended it. I have seen things like this before. I regret that this will not be the last. I advance, warning the lieutenant to stay back with a nod of my head. I address the warrior we have come to find. My lord battle captain. He does not let me finish.
Patience.
The word is an admonishment. His tone is one of a tutor towards a novice acting out of turn. He sniffs the air. Is that a faint smile on his lips? Despite myself, I hesitate. I draw a breath. I begin again. Captain Garrow, I am Galor, tasked by the Sigilite to ascertain your status. We have not heard from you in many days. Why did you not answer your vox, my lord? Garrow does not look away from the dead monster.
Damaged. The venom of the demon corrodes like acid. It ruined my helm, and I was forced to discard it.
One gauntleted hand leaves the top of his resting sword. He beckons me.
I could not return. Not yet.
My lord, I do not understand. I was not there when the dragon first appeared, ripping its way out of a shrieking hole in reality. But I've been told of Captain Garrow's response, of how he alone teleported down here from a ship in orbit, the bombardment still in progress to find it and kill it. He was not expected to survive, and the cannonade was not going to be stopped for one warrior of the Legionis Astartes, even if he was Malkador's Agentia Primus. I came here out of duty, in search of proof of his death, in part because we are both knights errant, but also because he and I share more than that. We were, Death Guard, sons of Mortarion, scions of the 14th Legion in better days. I thought it fitting. Now he makes me feel foolish for assuming. A scowl grows on my face. There is no time for this. The war goes on, and we have no reason to be here. I stride to Garrow's side and grab his arm. Captain, our work is done on Nolectrinus. Malkador's will has been met. We are to move on.
Is that so?
He looks at me for the first time.
Helig Galor, the mantle of the errant fits you well. It has been a long time since we spoke. Before the flight from Istvan, I believe.
Aye, in truth, longer than that. In my service to Garrow's command of the 7th Company of the Death Guard, I did little to draw the battle captain's notice. It was only an accident of place that put me aboard the frigate Eisenstein when the War Master showed his treachery. And while I am grateful every day for being one of the 70 souls who escaped that madness, it has always seemed a quirk of fate that made it so. He did not choose me. I was there because I was loyal. I am here now for the same reason. Garrow was born of Terra, and I am a child of Barbarus, our Primarch's adopted homeworld. It places distance between us, distance that the unity of Legion once masked. With that gone, with no connection between us but storm-grey armour, I feel less able to ignore the disparity.
"We will not leave here, not yet," he says. "The Death Guard have always been patient, brother. Exercise some of that patience now."
My collar rises. I speak quietly, but with cold intent. I realize now that I stopped being a Death Guard when we were abandoned on Luna. When our Imperium declared us untrustworthy and made us prisoners in all but name. You were not there to see that, Captain Garrow. Not all were given Malkador's blessing.
"You were,"
he says coolly.
"The Regent deemed you suitable after a time."
The tone of his voice seems to suggest that Garrow himself might not have made the same judgment. And that is the end to whatever of my patience remains. I turn towards the lieutenant and cut the air with the blade of my hand. "Break Vox silence and contact the ship. Have them vector a Stormbird to this location. We have found what we are looking for." My gaze drifts back to Garrow. "It's time to quit this place." The lieutenant doesn't answer me. He's looking away into the smoke haze. As I see a creeping shock roll over the bloodied, battle-worn faces of the troopers at his side, I hear the sound of massive lungs taking a heavy, shuddering breath. Garrow moves, stepping back, the great sword coming up as if it weighs nothing.
"Patience rewarded," he says almost to himself.
I turn. The dragon thing is coming back to life. It was dead, and now it is not. I am as certain of one state as I was of the other only a moment before. My hands tense around my bolter. Once I would have been shaken by such a thing. Once, not now. Not with all that I have seen. It rises, shaking off the dust. Tentacles unfold from filth-caked orifices. Mandibles snap and roomy eyes blink open. A whip-like serpentine tongue invades the air, tasting it.
"It feasts on blood,"
Garrow explains, lecturing me once again.
"But it is greedy. One life is not enough to draw its interest."
He indicates the Chosen who have accompanied me as they enter battle formation and charge their weapons.
"It will only fully inhabit its flesh vessel when there is a large enough mass of prey to attract it."
I understand. One space marine is not enough to tempt the demon's essence to manifest itself. But two of them, and a cohort of blood-stained Chosen, are. I see a warrior's need for battle in Garrow's eyes.
"Join me in this," he says.
It is not an order, but an invitation offered to an equal. I nod. And together, we kill the beast for the final time.
That was Patience by James Smaller. Read by Jonathan Keeble.